Acts of vandalism aren't new. I don't know if it's an urban myth, but it's part of our Australian history that apparently when diggers from Australia were on their way to the trenches in World War One, and in particular to Gallipoli, their staging post was Egypt. And stories are told as part of our history that among these good upstanding Australians, apparently there were a few vandals who used to do target practice at the nose of the Sphinx. I'm not suggesting that the degradation that's happened to the Sphinx is all the result of Australians, but apparently we have participated in that act of vandalism. And many of us have been to different historic sites around the world and are astounded by the way those sites over the centuries have been vandalised. Indeed, many of our museums have benefited from those acts of vandalism over the centuries. So no, vandalism isn't new. It's willful destruction. It's a defacing of something. Well, the scriptures that we've read this morning tells us of how Jesus was in the desert as a man. Remember, God sent his only begotten Son, and he was clothed in our humanity. Jesus was fully God, fully man. But we find him in the desert as a man, fully man. And he was facing Satan's attempts to bring him down. Satan's attack in the very same way you and I face those attacks. Satan is described in the Bible as a roaring lion, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. And yes, an objective of temptation is to devour us, to rob and imprison us, to destroy our walk with God. And we'll look at that aspect in more detail next week. But I'd like to suggest to you that there is a far more significant act of vandalism being played out through temptation. Because at its core, temptation is an act of vandalism against God. You see, in his attempt, temptation is an attempt on the part of Satan to destroy, to deface God before his creation, to get you and I to question the person, the authority, the character, the very name of God. I really appreciated the emphasis that Colin brought to our attention this morning. Did you notice how the songs kept on bringing us back to who God is? Satan, in his temptation, is seeking to deface God. We see this in the Garden of Eden when Satan first appears on the scene tempting humanity. Genesis, for example, records for us how Satan vandalizes God. What are the first words that Satan says to humanity? Did God really say? Now, think for a moment. What sits behind that? What was in Satan's mind? What did Satan want to achieve by that? What was his goal here? What was he actually saying? Did God really say? God doesn't mean what he says. God isn't really in control. God isn't someone you can trust. These were the lies that Satan was spreading. This is the defacing that's going on. And ever since that moment in history, humanity has had a distorted picture of God. What happened in the Garden of Eden is a little bit like someone sneaking into the Louvre, the art gallery in Paris, and painting a moustache on the Mona Lisa. Now, just imagine someone did that. And from that moment in time, people came into the art gallery, stood before the Mona Lisa and said, wow, isn't that an amazing picture? I never realised she had a moustache. That's a bit unusual for a woman, but so be it. And it's this amazing thing. It's exactly the same deal. That's what's going on here. That's what Satan's trying to do. Paul in Romans really captured that point when he wrote, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. And then he goes on, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. See, temptation is primarily an act of vandalism against God. It's an attempt by Satan to deface God before his creation, to get you and I to have a distorted view of who God really is. That's what is at stake here. Well, as we turn to Jesus' temptation, let me make two initial observations. Firstly, Jesus came to reveal God. That was the essential, the core element of why Jesus came to this earth. He came to make God known, to challenge the distorted picture of who God is, to challenge the idea that has dominated the human agenda since the garden. How did Jesus put it? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Yes, Jesus came to reveal God. And then secondly, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Let's be clear about that. Jesus walked this earth to destroy the works of the devil. The Bible describes how Satan, in the past, waged a campaign against God, and as a consequence, is thrown out of heaven. And then on earth, he continues that campaign, seeking to establish his own kingdom and himself as God. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I mean, look at verse 1 here in chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. How did Jesus end up in the wilderness? How did that all happen? God led him there. God took him there. God initiated this whole encounter. And let me encourage you to do something. Read through the Gospels and notice Jesus' encounter with the devil. God is totally in control here. And what you need to understand is that what we see being worked out are two kingdoms on a collision course. This spurious, this fake kingdom, the devil saying, I'm really king and the earth is mine and I'm in control. Honest? And the true king coming saying, no way, no way. This is two kingdoms on a collision course. And Jesus came not afraid of the devil, not cowering away from the devil. No, Jesus came to defeat him. He became fully man to take back what was stolen and to bring the thief to judgment. I love the way Paul expresses it in Colossians, that Jesus triumphed over him, the devil, by the cross. Jesus triumphed over the devil by the cross. Having said all this, let's explore this idea of temptation as an act of vandalism against God in some more detail as we look at this encounter between the devil and Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Notice verse 3. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The first act of defacing the person of God is an attempt by the devil to say to Jesus and to humanity, God is not trustworthy. Swoosh, the bucket of paint is thrown over the person of God, as it were. God is not trustworthy. Satan, in encountering Jesus, knew exactly who he was. And indeed, Satan is not trying to get him to reveal his identity, nor is he attempting to lure Jesus into some perverted self-gratification. You need to understand something far more significant is at stake. Satan is challenging Jesus to act apart from faithful dependence on God. Now think about this for a second. That's exactly what Satan did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He tried to lure them, and indeed he successfully lured them, to act independently of God. And that's what's going on here. Jesus, will you act separate from God, apart from faithful dependence on God? And indeed, Satan constantly bombards you and I with this same idea that God is not someone we can trust in the midst of our daily life. I mean, think of what's going on in your life. Many of us in this room have incredible challenges. And the niggling idea that floats into our minds in the midst of those times, and it's only in the midst of those struggles, that is this: you can't really trust God. I mean, if God was someone you could trust, this would not be happening. That's the question. That's the defacing. God's not someone you can trust. And indeed, if he's not trustworthy, then we cannot live confidently for him and in dependence on him. When Jesus responded, "Man does not live by bread alone," he was proclaiming that though he is fully man, living in the physical realm, just like us, he lives according to the Spirit. I'm not just bound by the physical reality in front of me. Sure, we need food to eat. That's not what's at stake here. That's not the issue here. I don't live by bread alone. No. He was proclaiming that though he is fully man, living in the physical sphere, he's living according to the Spirit. I am in the world, but I am not controlled by it. I live for the pleasure of my Father. I want to please him. I'm trusting him. I know who he is. Your attempts, Satan, to deface God it's rubbish. I know who God is and he's trustworthy. The whole earth is his. I am his and I can trust him. Act of vandalism number 2, verse 5. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Satan's attempt now is to vandalize the person of God by saying God is not king. God's not in control, he's not trustworthy, and now he's not king. He's not the king, I'm the king. Now, this is a really interesting dialogue because Satan makes this horrendous rubbish claim. The earth is mine, I can do whatever I like with it, I can give it to whoever I want. Jesus doesn't actually engage in a dialogue with him. And lots of people say, "Oh, yeah, the devil's in control on the earth." And one would need to say, on what evidence do you base that? Well, we read it here in the temptation, and to which one would need to say, "So you actually believe what the devil says? You actually believe that this is true? He's not in control, and Jesus doesn't even give him the time of day." It's amazing. Jesus here is simply not engaging. He doesn't even go there. He's just, "I'm living in humble submission. I'm here to serve. I'm here as a humble servant. I know God is king. I sure know you're not. I know God is the creator God who created the heavens and the earth. He is the sovereign Lord God Almighty. I know who you are. You're a fake king claiming a fake kingdom, and I will not give you control. God is God, and I will live my life in humble submission to him. Your will be done on earth. This is what Jesus is saying. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I choose to worship the one true King and serve him alone. That is a constant choice, friends. A constant choice we make every day of our lives. I choose you as King, and I will put you in the place as King, and I will humbly bow down at your feet. I am the servant. You are the Lord God Almighty. No, Satan. You can deface God all you like and say he's not really king. Jesus says, I'm not even engaging with this. Defacing, act of vandalism number 3, verse 9. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Act of vandalism number 3, God is not powerfully present. This is a really interesting encounter. Satan takes Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, what is the symbolism of the temple in Jerusalem? The presence of God. In ancient Israel, God set apart a city. God sets apart a temple. And God is present in the temple. Hard word. And here, Satan takes Jesus to this symbolic place. If God is anywhere, he's here. And then he quotes from Psalm 91. The devil knows the Bible. The devil quotes from Psalm 91, which is a song celebrating the presence of God to care and protect. Jesus does a very interesting thing. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, which refers to a time in the history of ancient Israel when the people were putting God to the test by doubting his presence and power. You get the drift? You get what's going on here? You see, this request, you know, throw yourself off and God who promises to look after you, he'll do it. This request for a sign would actually be an act of unbelief, masquerading as extraordinary faith. I mean, it sounds so bold, doesn't it? It sounds like a great leap of faith, but actually it's a step of unbelief, perilous unbelief. You see, Jesus doesn't engage with Satan, but simply rests in the knowledge of who his heavenly Father has revealed himself to be. Satan's throwing all this stuff out, but in the back of Jesus' mind, I know who God is. I know he is powerfully present. I know that's what's at stake here. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you bought into the devil's lies concerning God? Is the picture you have of who God is actually a vandalized picture? A Mona Lisa with a moustache? Can I suggest to you that the only way out of that prison is Jesus himself, the one who says to us this morning, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Look at me and see that God is trustworthy. Look at me and see that God is King. Look at me and see that God is powerfully present. Do you get it? I'd like to finish this morning by us praying the Lord's Prayer together. Now, we know these words well, but let me suggest we think about what we're praying. We begin by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So what are we saying when we pray those prayers, pray those words? Surely we're saying, we will not buy into the distorted images of who you are, but choose to honour you as God. We are saying, you are God, no one else, there is no other. We pray on, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is all about living life in the substance of our daily physical existence, in our relationships with other people. What are we saying when we pray this prayer? You are the sovereign King over all the earth, and we trust you and choose to live our lives in dependence on you. That's what we're praying. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We renounce the works of the devil. There is a false, spurious claim on the earth by a despot who is saying, I'm really the king. No, 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 you're not really the king. We renounce the works of the devil and choose to stand in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that victory that he won at the cross. Let's stand and pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.